In the book of Acts, chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the apostles were preaching the first gospel message to a very large group there. And if we read there in Acts chapter 2, and looking at verse 36, it says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.' And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." The title of my sermon tonight is Save Yourself. In the old King James Version, this passage is rendered, "Save yourself from this perverse generation." You play a small but critical role in your own salvation. Although it can't be compared with the importance of the role that Jesus has, consider how important it is, in hindsight, for those who are not saved because they choose not to be. Now, when they get there on the other side after their death, or when the judgment day comes, and they're standing there and they realize the whole reason they weren't saved is because they didn't do what they needed to do. They didn't act when they needed to act. They didn't obey God. They did not come to God. And that's part of the plan of salvation. It's the part that is the believing part. When you say hear the word of God, believe the word of God, obey, repent, confess. When you believe, that's part of that process when you believe. When these people heard what Peter preached to them, and they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." He didn't mean for them to just sit there and wonder what to do. He didn't mean for them to just kind of go, I still don't know what to do, or I'm not sure. He meant for them to act. He meant for them, when he said, "Save yourself from this perverse generation," he meant for them to take action. They were part of that process. God required them to obey him. The idea that you can't do anything to save yourself is false. You have to obey the gospel. If you justify your inaction or your negligence to obey the gospel based on that idea, then you're going to be very sorry. When the day of judgment arrives, you're going to find out who's responsible for your lack of being saved, and it's you. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Jesus is the great Savior. Jesus has done his part, and he did it perfectly. without sin. He became the perfect sacrifice for sins. He obeyed the Father. He suffered, though he were a son. And Jesus has done his part. Jesus has done that greatest part in the plan of salvation. And yet, if one does not accept God's gift of salvation through his son, Jesus, one will be just as lost as if Jesus had never existed. Until you take that step and come to God in faith and repentance, confessing that you believe that his son Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, Lord, and are baptized according to the gospel command, you will not be saved. Despite all that God has done, despite all of the effort, despite all the power and the sacrifice and the prophets and all the patience that God has shown, until you take that step as an individual, until you walk and take that step and come to God and say, I want to make that confession. Until you take that step, you will not be saved. It's up to you. God will not force anyone to be saved. That would be wonderful for some people if God would do that, but he's not going to do that. He's not going to force anybody to be saved. In book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's not saying, I want to do this and I want to do that, or I want to go jump through this hoop, or I want to say a sinner's prayer. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying work out. It's not saying come up with your own plan of salvation. It's saying God knows that you're going to struggle when you hear the gospel message. God knows that you're going to be there just like I was sitting there. And I sat there Sunday after Sunday until I felt like I was ready. I was born and raised in and around the Church of Christ. They say, well, you can't be born in it. You can't be born saved, but you know what I mean. I was born just like the babies here, born and raised. Both parents, members of the Church of Christ. And I sat there Sunday after Sunday, and God knows you're going to struggle. And you're going to think, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. But you know what? Until you make that decision about what you're going to believe and about what you're going to be committed to and what you're going to be convicted to, you're the one that's keeping yourself lost. Not God. Because God has done everything. Jesus paid it all. Jesus has already paid that price. God has already done everything. He's got everything ready. All things are ready. Come to the feast. And until you make that step, when it says only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and I. Song after song after song I heard while I was sitting there thinking, I'm not ready. You better be ready before it's too late, because you don't have forever. I was coming home from work one morning. I had worked the 4 to 12 shift. I usually work a later shift. But that for that night, that particular night, the guy was out. I had to take his place. I was coming home from work about 12 o'clock, a little after 12 o'clock. Got off work, downtown Charleston, driving home. Very dark. It was raining, which cut down the visibility as well. It was very dark. Street lights weren't many street lights at all. And I came down, and I'm coming down to get on the interstate. and you have to go up underneath the overpass, which makes it that much darker. You got an overpass sitting right there by you. And I'm sitting there, and the light's flashing yellow. So that's up to you. That's up to you, to, of course, as a driver, decide when it's safe to go. So I look to the left. I don't see anything. Of course, you're looking for headlights. I look to the right. I don't see anything. Car pulls up beside me. Stops. I looked again. I did a double take. I looked again, and I saw some blue lights flashing. I thought, And I could just see, since I'm paying very close attention now, that the lights, the blue lights go off. And I'm like, I wonder why he just cut them off. And I see this car coming very fast. And I watch it. And I couldn't believe the car. It was a Cadillac. And it was running from the cop, running from the police officer there. And I couldn't believe how fast that car moved. It came flying down here, and then the guy beside me had pulled out. And it hit him right beside. It knocked his car about 25, 30 feet across the road up into another person's yard, up onto their porch. I had to kill him instantly. Well, it could have been me. Same thing could happen to you. If you're not obeying the gospel because you don't think you're ready, Lord willing that he allows you the grace to continue to when you are ready or you think you're ready. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe that God exists, that this God exists, God created this world, and that Jesus is his son, and that you're a sinner, and you need forgiveness, you need salvation. If you understand that, and you're ready to... Then it really becomes a matter of not that you don't understand the basics, not that you don't believe that God exists and that Jesus is His Son and that Jesus is the Savior. It's not that. It's that I'm not quite sure that I want to be a Christian because I might have more fun not being a Christian. It's not that you don't understand the very basic essentials that you need to understand. It's not going to hurt you. You're not worried about coming out back here and going down into the water and being baptized in the name of God the Father and Jesus His Son and that of the Holy Spirit. You're not worried about that. It's just a matter of obeying the gospel command. It's an easy thing to do. You're not worried about getting wet. You're not worried about obeying that. What it comes down to is you're thinking, maybe I will have more fun. Let me sow my wild oats first. I'm not ready to make that kind of commitment. You are risking your soul. You are risking everything based on the fact that the reason you're not ready to be committed is because maybe you think you want to be part of the world. Well, you don't want to be part of the world. I can guarantee you that. You learn that in hindsight. Just like I said in the very first part of my lesson, how important is it? How important is this part that you play? Consider how important it is to the person who decides not to do it and dies in their sins. I could have died right then and there. Lord willing, I'd have been saved on my way to heaven. But as a sinner, what about that other guy? What about him? Was he ready to meet God? Had he obeyed the one true gospel? So many people die every day. We have no guarantee. Where did God ever give us any guarantee that you got another day? So, well, you know, you're not ready, but don't worry about it. You're not destined to die in another couple months. That's not the case. You don't know from 1 minute to the next. A guy was walking down the beach. We're reading an article about a guy walking along the beach. He's got his Walkman, like Cookie wears his, he's got his little walk thing, you know, listening to his music. He's walking down the beach. Very nice. Very nice setting. An ultralight lost power. hit him in the back and killed him instantly. Did he think he was going to die then and there? Certainly not. I mean, certainly not like that anyway. He never knew what hit him. One minute he is conscious and doing what he wants to do. And the next second, he's black. He went black. And now he will meet his creator. He will meet his creator in the state he's in. That man may have very well have decided, I'm not ready yet. Better get ready. Better think about it. Better make a decision. Once you're old enough to know that you are a sinner, that you need Christ, that you need to be saved, once you know that you're a sinner and that you are lost in your sins, once you reach that point of accountability, when you reach that point where you know what to do and you know what you need to do, you are accountable at that point. That's when you need to obey God. That's when you need to do your part. Many people live their lives today not wanting to be bothered with religion. They are much more interested in what they're going to eat, drink, or wear, or some relationship that they're in. They're busy just living their lives. They don't want to be bothered with religion. They don't want to be bothered with somebody knocking on their door saying, hey, let's have a Bible study. Let's learn about the plan of salvation. They don't want to be bothered with that. Nope, I'd rather cook dinner. I'd rather take the kids to soccer practice. I'd rather do whatever. Are those things more important? Of course not. Who's keeping those people from being saved? They are. It's bigger than a lot of people think. God has done everything, and yet that is keeping them from going into the kingdom of God. When Jesus was alive, the Pharisees, he rebuked the Pharisees, and he said, you won't go into the kingdom of God, and you're keeping other people, trying to keep other people from going in ahead of you. You won't let these other people go in. They will live an entire life, each day wasted on these things. And only when it's too late will they understand who is to blame for their rejection and their eternal condemnation. Only after it's too late. Even the denominational doctrine of faith only requires a person to make that choice of accepting Jesus. If a person never does that, they don't consider them to be saved. Now, when I was a kid, I got one of the Baptist brochures, and it has the guy standing there. It has two guys. One guy, he's going through his life, and at one point he accepts Jesus. And on the judgment day, God says, okay, you're saved. But the other guy, he didn't. He didn't accept Jesus. He just went on living. And he's like, God said, nope, depart from me. You didn't make it. Even the denomination doctrine of faith only requires that you do something. A person can go on living their life hoping that nothing bad ever happened to them and never be saved. Just hoping. I sure hope that doesn't happen. You ever hear people talk like, I've listened to them on the radio sometimes, they get talking about religion or hell or whatever it is, just from a secular point of view. I sure hope that doesn't happen to me, they'll say. Yeah, me too. I hope that doesn't ever happen to me. That's not going to keep it from happening to you. If the devil could convince people to not listen to whatever the preacher says, but remain as they are, and never be saved. All you have to do to be lost is do nothing. That's it. And that is, falling off a log is harder than that. Do nothing, and you'll be lost. just avoid or ignore the subject? Say no. No, thank you. Not for me. Politely refuse. Or not so politely. Do nothing. Change nothing. Fail to come to God. Fail to accept His gift of eternal life through His Son, Jesus. There's another concept that is along the same line, and I hope that I'm able to show you that anybody that believes he's a Christian is a Christian. All you've got to do, in some people's mind, is just believe that you're a Christian. And then you are a Christian. A Christian is a Christian is a Christian. So doctrinal differences are irrelevant. So I don't need to do anything. When I hear this doctrine or this form of doctrine or that form of doctrine from this group or that group, hey, I'm already a Christian. I consider myself to be a Christian. I am a Christian. We're all Christians. Doesn't matter. It's all the same. So I don't need to do anything. But I don't know how anybody can read the book of Galatians chapter 1 verses 6 and 9 and come to that kind of conclusion and think that doctrine doesn't matter. I just have never been able to get that. How anybody can come to the conclusion that doctrine doesn't matter. We turn to Galatians. Let's look at that Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 verses 6 through 9. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. That is very, very strong language. Accursed. How can anybody read that and say, well, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all the same. Christian is a Christian is a Christian. It's all the same thing. We're all Christians. We're all the same. Doctrines don't matter. How can you read that and come to that kind of conclusion? I can't. I could never read that. Every time I read that, it's like powerful. Laying everything right out on the line, just how important it really is. He said, the apostle is telling them, he said, even if I do it, even if I came back to you, or an angel from heaven came to you and preached to you something else, let him be accursed. That's how important doctrine is. Yes, you need to determine what the truth is, what the apostles' doctrine is, which group here on earth is Jesus' church. But once you determine that, you need to act. You need to make a commitment. God gives us grace. God gives us time. He's patient and long-suffering toward us. He was patient and long-suffering toward me. A Christian is a Christian is a Christian? I don't think so. Only those who obey the one true gospel that he speaks about here in the Bible, only those people are Christians. Everybody else is just thinking they are. But you see how it keeps them from doing anything? You see how that idea, that concept, hey, a Christian is a Christian, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, she's a Christian. You see how it keeps them from acting when they need to act? They hear the one true gospel and they're like, I'm okay.
I'm a Christian.
Doctrine does matter. The truth is the doctrine. The doctrine is the truth. It really is why churches have signs out front of their buildings with the different names on them. Because they do have different doctrines. It should be obvious. And a decision has to be made. But to conclude that it's all the same is irrational. You know, I've always been amazed. I've told many preachers that I've entertained come here in gospel meetings, whatever. I always ask them the number of people who either drop religion or switch to a completely different one just because they married somebody, or because a loved one died, maybe a mom or dad or a grandma or grandpa died, and all of a sudden they're gone. Just because they married somebody, how does that change the gospel? The last time I looked, I've seen a lot of people get married, and a lot of people die, but not one word of this book has ever changed upon those events. The truth never changed. And yet, 10 years later, somebody gets married, and all of a sudden, I'm going to go over here with this group. I'm going to go over here with that group. Although they apparently had obeyed the gospel. They apparently were committed, but they weren't. They weren't committed. We need to be committed. I hope everyone in this audience, especially young people, understand that if you expect to ever enter into heaven, you're going to have to be committed to the truth a lot more than that. A lot more than marriage or death. You're going to have to be committed to the truth. Many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Does that passage sound to you like we can just do whatever we want, believe whatever we want? Because it doesn't sound like that to me. It doesn't sound to me like you can just do whatever you want, believe whatever you want. There you have Jesus rejecting people. They're not saying, oh, you're not Jesus. They're not denying, oh, you're not him, you're not the one. They're not doing that at all. They're not saying, oh, I don't believe God exists. They're not doing that at all. They're saying, hey, wait a minute. We did all this stuff in your name. We were following you. They weren't following him. They thought they were. They had perhaps deluded themselves into believing that they were. But they weren't. The truth matters. God's word is the truth. The truth matters a whole lot. Looking at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 32. Jesus says, this is a very beautiful passage, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God loved us so much, he sent his only begotten Son here in this world to tell us the truth. And only through the truth can you be free. Only through the truth can you be free from sin. Only from the through the truth can you have the forgiveness of sins and be saved. Only through the truth, not through some other kind of gospel, not a half gospel, but the whole gospel. You know, if you take the ingredients out of take half the ingredients out of something, it doesn't turn out well. It is. It's just not the same. It doesn't work the same. It's not the same. You can't leave something out of a cake and have it work right. Leave the flour out of cake and see what happens. It's all important. And it's just as important as you understanding your part in being saved. Your part in taking that step. Your part in deciding this is more important to be committed. This is the truth and I need to be committed to it, and it's more important than me having fun. It's more important than that. The truth matters a whole lot. Only the truth will set you free. And once you become saved, once you become a child of God, once you become a Christian that has obeyed the one true gospel, you need to save others. You need to save other people. Of course, if that's what you've done, if you have obeyed the gospel, then that is exactly what you're going to want to do. Look at the book of chapter Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness let not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. No longer those of the darkness. There is no other way. There is only one solution. Find out what the truth is. Find out which religion is the right one true religion. Find Jesus' church and get in it. Be part of it. Do what you've got to do. God has made it so easy. Hear the word of God. After all, what else would it be? Hear the word of God. Of course, the word of God. The word of God is truth. Truth shall set you free. Believe it. Repent of your sin. Confess that Jesus is Christ. And be baptized for the remission of sins. Of course you have to repent. If you don't repent, you never changed your mind. You never did make that step. You see how if you don't repent, you never made that step. You never took that step that you needed to take. You didn't believe. You got here to the believe part and didn't believe. Well, of course you're not going to repent if you don't believe. That's where everybody gets hung up. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to be saved. I'm not ready. Just say that to yourself. I'm not ready to be saved. That doesn't sound good. That doesn't make sense. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? And yet, so many people, that's what they're saying. I'm not ready to be saved. God is a loving God. God is a great and loving loving God who's given us his only begotten Son. He sacrificed him instead of you. Look at that. Look at that love. How is it going to hurt you? There's no harm. There's no hurt. Yes, you die to your sin. There's no pain. The old man dies. There's no pain. God took all the pain away and put it upon his blessed Son. By his stripes you are healed. You worried about getting a beating? The only way you're going to get a beating is if you don't accept God's gracious offer. And doesn't that make sense? When he's done all of that, when God has given you his only begotten Son and put the stripes on his back, when they whipped him and flogged him and drove nails into his hands and pulled out the hair of his beard and took a crown of thorns, that was pain. When God has done all of that for you, the only way you're going to take a beating, the only way you're going to hurt is when you say, no, thank you. I don't want your gift, God. I don't need it. Yeah, you're going to take a beating then. You're going to take an eternal beating. You're going to hurt forever. It's no wonder that would bring God's wrath. It would bring any being's wrath to do all of that for people and then have them say, no, thank you. No, thank you. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Look for the word wrath. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Look for the word wrath. Wrath. Yeah, there's no wonder why it wouldn't bring God's wrath. You reject that kind of a gift when he's done that much for you. The sons of disobedience upon them. If you're going to take a beating, that's where you're going to take a beating. You worried about pain, you worried about suffering. The way you're going to take it is by doing nothing. All you got to do to be lost is do nothing. That's the easiest thing in the world. Just do nothing. Never take that first step. Never realize that you're part of that. Believe. Go on and believe. There's nothing I can do. Go on and believe that. You will take a beating. You will suffer. You will take a hurt. You will be hurt. Eternally. It doesn't have to be that way. Accept God's gift. Accept God's love that he has given us through his Son. Give up the temporary pleasures of this world. Give up that doubt about whether or not you're ready or not, because maybe I want to have a little fun. Maybe I'll have more fun as a lost person. I'm not ready to be saved. Seems to make more sense to be saying, I am ready to be saved. That seems to make a lot more sense, considering how easy it is and how well God has prepared everything for you and how Jesus has already taken the suffering and the death, to just go ahead and accept that gift of eternal life that comes through God's Son. As a gift. It's a gift. The greatest gift. You could never have bought it. You could never have earned it. You can't earn salvation. Just to accept that gift that God gives us. There may be someone tonight struggling who's saying to themselves, I'm not ready. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to commit myself. It's a lifetime commitment. Be sure. Don't let things like marriage or the death of a loved one throw you all in a loop. Don't let stuff like those are natural things. Things that happen every day. They don't change a word of this. They don't change a word of this Bible. Not a word when those things happen. People have been living and dying and being married since Adam and Eve in the garden. And they will continue to do so all the way up to the judgment day. Don't let things like that throw you for a loop. Understand, you need to hear the Word of God, because the Word of God is the truth, and it's the truth that sets you free. You need to believe the Word. Believe it. That means you need to act. That's your part. Just like I said, save yourself. You need to believe. And if you do believe, then you'll repent. Because that's just a natural thing. You believe, you do what you need to do, you repent. You need to confess. If you believe, you're going to confess that Jesus is the Christ, that He's the Son of God. Because you're a believer. Be baptized because God said so. Because God made it part of the gospel plan of salvation. Because God said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And those on the day of Pentecost, those who did believe, they were baptized and they were saved. But what about the others who did not obey? What about the others who sat back and said, I'm not ready yet. I'm not quite so sure about this. If there is anyone tonight that is subject to the invitation, please come forward as I sing our